I'm Jeremy Greer.
I'm Chris Mosier.
And this is Non-Human Biologics, the creepy but necessary podcast that, once again, has a resurrection story. Somebody dies and goes back into someone else's body.
These people will not stay dead.
Just stay dead. Oh my God, please just stay dead. Yeah, we're back with more X-Files. Unfortunately, I think an episode that is kind of vaguely problematic in the early 90s kind of way, and also pretty boring for all that it is problematic.
Yeah, I think it's light, I guess, on the problematic. It's not like overly like, okay, you know, they're definitely playing into some stereotypes, especially of the time. I think its greatest defense is that it's very boring.
It is pretty boring and slow. Like the whole like technology side of this, of like, there's a turbine that we got to get to Mach 15. It's just kind of whatever, kind of snoozy. Before we get into that, let's thank our patrons over at patreon.com/monsterofthe week.
Shout out to the homies in the Discord.
Shout out to all the homies in the Discord. Join. You can talk to us about Gundam building. You can talk to us about anime. You can talk to us about Final Fantasy. And that's just in one channel. And there's like 20 channels.
It's actually just all that stuff has been quarantined into one channel. All the other normal conversations happen elsewhere.
Everybody else is normal and nobody else. No, I'm kidding.
People go to concerts to talk about music. There's a gardening channel, a cooking channel, a fitness channel. There's tons of normal stuff. And then I post in the one weird channel.
I like to post the lyrics to sad songs that I've been listening to lately, because I've had a pretty bad case of the bad brain, and listening to sad music kind of helps with that. So that's a fun thing that you can do. You can come read some real sad music lyrics, like
do that with Jeremy,
like we're chatting on MSN back in 2005.
Oh brother, take me back.
I'm ready to go, Chris. I'm ready. Let's just destroy Twitter and get back on MSN.
Yeah, Twitter is basically just all bots now anyway, so
pretty much.
What are we talking about here? Thanks, patrons. You're the best. Patrons. We love you. Come join us. Do you want me to start doing the promo now?
I'm just gonna say, Chris,
I need it. I need your love. And more importantly than your love, I need your money. I need you to come hang out in the Discord. Just tag me constantly, and then I'll try to react with an emoji, and then I won't find the emoji that I'm looking for, and then I'll just not react because I got mad that I couldn't find the emoji I wanted.
Yep.
So and that happens a lot to me.
And then you'll never post. And then you'll never respond to the thing. Yeah.
But so. I read them, and I chuckle or smile, and you know, that's anyway, please come hang out.
Chris, why don't you catch us up on what's been happening?
Okay,
with the
last time on the fucking X-Files, Mulder and Scully investigated a case where a dead cop possessed a random little girl. There was no relation there, right? It was just random. He possessed a random little girl to get revenge on some other non-dead cops. And in the end, the ghost pretty much got exactly what he wanted, and the case was left sort of inconclusive.
Yep. Today we're covering season 1, episode 23.
You can tell how dismissive I was of that shit.
Roland, a scientist working on advanced propulsion technology, is killed by a disabled janitor, Roland, who then corrects the man's calculations. Mulder and Scully investigate and find that another recently deceased scientist, whose head is cryogenically frozen, was Roland's twin brother and is controlling him telepathically from beyond the grave. This aired on May 6, 1994, was directed by David Nutter, written by Chris Rupenthal. Notably, I looked up some trivia for this because I was kind of curious about it. David Nutter directed 3 or 4 episodes, including like 2 of the good ones, like Ice. And he said that this was probably the weakest episode that he directed. He complained about it publicly.
Yeah, he locked that one in for sure. He knew.
The other thing that comes up a lot if you look up any information about this episode is how great of a job Zelko Ivanek did as Roland, who we should mention is. Called him a disabled janitor, which isn't the appropriate language in 2024. But he plays somebody that's obviously on the spectrum, who is an autistic kid, or man. And it's, I don't necessarily have a problem with really his depiction of anything. Like, it seems, like you mentioned pretty early on, it seems pretty stereotypical of the time, which is something that the X-Files does a lot, right? Like, we've talked about that before, where they just take stuff like, oh, here's the way that autistic people have been represented on television. We're just going to kind of repeat that.
We're just going to keep doing that, yeah.
But I always find it really weird when people who aren't on the spectrum, actors specifically, play these roles. The same thing happens with like cis folk playing trans roles in movies. And 1994 we weren't having this conversation back then, right? Like there was nobody really talking about this. The R slur was still not really considered a slur. Like everybody used it everywhere.
I was surprised it didn't show up in the episode.
I was too. Yeah, I was waiting for it to happen. But it's just really kind of annoying to me in 2024. Like, it's one of those things where, like, this dude is an amazing actor. If you go look up his IMDb, or if you know him from on site, like, you realize, like, he's been in tons and tons of genre stuff that you know and love. He's always, like, fucking brings the heat. So it's no surprise that he could do this.
But he's Walton Goggins, but yeah.
He's no Walton Goggins, but also I don't think Walton Goggins has played anybody on the spectrum either. Like, I don't think that's ever... all he's done in Vice Principals is just yell at small children and cuss them out, which is funny. I'm sorry, that's just undeniably funny.
You gotta do that. The world needs a little bit more of that.
If you're cussing out a fifth grader, I'm laughing. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up. You're in fifth grade. What do you got to say?
Yeah, you little shit for brains. Like, that's just funny. I'm sorry. Especially if it's fake. Like, not in real life. Obviously.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you have any kind of strong feelings about this. I just wanted to mention it because obviously, like, Roland is the featured kind of guest character throughout this. Like, we're going to be dealing with him throughout the episode. So I guess I just wanted to kind of get it out of the way at the beginning.
Yeah, it's just, I don't want to call the depiction boring, but it's exactly what you expect. It's just exactly what you expect. And it's kind of what this whole freaking episode is. It was so hard not to think of the cryogenically frozen heads from Futurama.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't know why that's where my brain went to. But all right, to kick it off, we're in like a propulsion lab. They're working on like increasing Mach speeds. And we have this janitor named Roland. We see him kind of getting pushed around by some of the scientists. And then we see those very same scientists arguing. One guy wants to stop the experiment and do more tests and, you know, calculations before they destroy all their work by accident. The others are trying to push him on to do more and more. Eventually, a couple of the scientists kind of leave in anger, and it's left with the one scientist who wanted to stop things. He's running more tests. He's doing more equations. And then we see Roland, the janitor, there, sweeping up, doing his thing. And as the scientist kind of like goes into, I guess, what, like the propulsion chamber where they're running these tests with this giant propulsion engine fan thing.
Turbine.
While the turbine. Turbine? Turbine?
Turbine?
I don't know. Turbine. While the man's in there, Roland suddenly goes up, closes the door, and starts like messing with the computer, starts up this turbine, and eventually the scientist gets sucked in and killed.
Yep. He is totally munched up. Which I believe is an ice spice phrase. I think that's what she meant when she used the word munched, right?
I think so. Now that you mention it, I think that's true.
I don't know if you listen to a lot of Ice Spice. Like, pretty much no.
I don't know if it's her song, That Boy's a Liar. I think it was maybe she was featured on it. I knew that one, but I don't know any of her solo stuff.
It seemed like when she featured on that Taylor Swift song that they gave her a beat and then they changed the beat on her, because she did none of her rhymes matched the beat at all, which is really weird. But also, like, she also coined the phrase totally munched up, which I mean you fed a man to a turbine, so I think that's
pretty
accurate. Mulder and Scully arrive the next day. This is the Icarus project, which is super secret. Scully is like, why is this an X-File? Like, this is not our normal thing. And please don't tell me that you think that they're using UFO technology. And he says, Mulder says, there's something unexplainable here, but it is certainly not.
You get excited for a second when she mentioned UFOs. You go,
We're not doing that. They meet with Dr. Keats, who is the asshole scientist from the cold open. We also learn that there's another scientist that died 6 months ago in a car accident. They learn that this in this chamber, like, the door can only be closed from the outside, so someone had to be there. As they're talking, Mulder immediately goes to the whiteboard and is like, hey, this last line here is on a totally different handwriting from everybody else's. Whose is this? And nobody knows. And so they say the only other person that was around was Roland. Dr. Keats makes fun of Roland for, you know, not being the sharpest tool in the shed or whatever. And they head off to the halfway house where he lives to meet up with Roland. And Roland is having a good time making posters with stars with his friend Tracy, who is also on the spectrum. I will say towards the end of this, the Roland and Tracy thing really got to me. Like, I don't know if it was the performances, but like, I kind of got bought in on their relationship a little bit, and I was like,
I don't know why.
They did a very good job.
They just threw in this sort of almost innocent like love story at the heart of it, and these people who have these circumstances that are beyond their control, and they're still found something real nice, and it's kind of being ripped away from them because, again, out of something completely out of their control.
They interview Roland, who basically says that he knows nothing and didn't see anything. He kind of does that that weird Rain Man thing that was so popular back in the time. Like, he counts the stars on Scully's blouse, which, whatever. And then as they start to question him, he begins to have these flashes of a...
Why are you staring at her blouse, dude?
Yeah, look up. She's got a head. She's got eyes.
Buddy, up here.
He begins to have flashes of this dead body, like, that looks like the face is, like, covered in ice. And it freaks him out so much that he spills his jar of stars and has to run over and start counting them. Again, like, I don't know, man. Like, I get that this is a good performance by this dude. And I get it was 1994, but I just some of the representation here just really irksome to me. I'll try to stop talking about it every single time it comes up, but it's just really irksome.
It's just, again, like everything that you ever expect to see in a movie. Like, this is, they do all the things. They tick all the boxes.
This dude watched Rain Man and got some direction, right, and then was like, okay, time to do, I don't even know if Rain Man was out at this point.
I don't know. But it becomes a stereotype, and that's why stereotypes become harmful, because then you start to think like, oh, anybody with any type of issue, they act like this. That's what this is. This is the only representation of that.
Yeah. Rain Man was in 88, so I would have no question in my mind that this that was the inspiration. We go back to the FBI HQ. Oh, notably, yeah. Mulder steals the piece of paper that Roland was working on.
Wow, Mulder.
Yeah, nice. Stealing from, people. That night, Roland has more nightmares about this frozen scientist. We go back to the FBI HQ. There's a new handwriting expert, one that does not flirt with Mulder this time. I don't know if you noticed this. This person is not interested in Mulder in the least.
Not interested. She's flirting with the job. You know what I mean? She's flirting with the truth.
She's flirting with work, which is what people should be flirting with at all times if you work for the FBI,
right,
by opinion.
If you're on the clock.
Yeah, if you're a Federal Bureau of Investigation agent, you shouldn't have time in your life for love. I'm sorry. You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because you're different. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You don't have time for love. You have to make that sacrifice. I'm sorry, if you're not making sacrifices, then I don't. Why do I care?
Why are you in the
flash
agency?
Your badge. I need to know that your love life is in shambles because of your commitment to your job. Otherwise, that badge doesn't mean anything to me.
That's why you never see, oh my God, I forgot the guy from Twin Peaks' name. Dale Cooper. Dale Cooper doesn't have a love life, right?
No.
Like, all he
minimal
has,
Riz.
All he has is Diane, and we never see her on screen whatsoever.
Audrey Horn, is kind of hot for him, but he's like, listen, lady, you're 16.
You're in high school, and I'm here investigating the murder of one of your classmates. I don't really want to hit this. Like, this is not going to be good for anybody. And your dad's freakazoid. Like, I cannot be anywhere. Your dad is a fucking freakazoid. And your uncle? Don't even get me started on that baguette-eating motherfucker. What is that dude wearing constantly? And Audrey's just like,
suits.
Conversation is really confusing to me.
Yeah. It's also confusing to our listeners. Watch Twin Peaks, everybody. It's a pretty good show. So they get it. The handwriting does not match. They check the handwriting on the whiteboard versus the handwriting on the note that Mulder stole. No match. So we cut back over to Roland. That night, he's having some night terrors. He's seeing flashes of things. Maybe his past, maybe his future. We don't know. And then he wakes up and... We cut back over to Dr. Keats. He's at the lab working late. What else is he doing, Jeremy? He's rocking out. He's jamming on that Walkman.
He's jamming.
He's killing it. I wonder what song he was listening to. We get a little whisper of it, but I couldn't quite identify it.
This guy seems like a Bruce Springsteen fan to me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
he's rocking out to some Springsteen, and it's his final serenade because Roland sneaks in and bludges him across the head.
In case that wasn't clear, I was saying that in a very derogatory fashion.
He seems like a Bruce Springsteen fan.
Derogatory, parentheses.
Yeah, derogatory.
Roland smashes
like a Beatles fan, derogatory.
Exactly, yeah.
Really stir the pot on these people.
He smashes the face, this dude's face, with a coffee cup, picks him up, shoves his head into a tank of liquid nitrogen, and then smashes his head on the floor and then steps on his ear on the way out in a way that I was like, oh, they're gonna track the boot print, but that doesn't ever come up. I was
that
like
100%
positive that was gonna be the thing.
I didn't know that was the thing that could happen in other sci-fi media. I only know about the liquid nitrogen bullshit from Resident Evil.
Oh yeah, liquid nitrogen is a huge thing all the time.
I should know. I don't watch enough sci-fi, I guess.
We skip to the next day, and I think the funniest thing in this episode is this. They've taped off the body, do.
They did like the chalk outline, but there's no, like, the body was ice. Shattered into pieces.
There's no head, so they just have little like X's and like O's, like where the head should be, like in a scattered fashion. And it looks like somebody just like tripped on acid and then fell down and turned into a tape outline. I love it so much. It was so good. Yeah.
What were they thinking? What are they thinking?
They talk about like what liquid nitrogen can do to organic material, and Mulder then goes over to the computer, which they can see access state. So they can see that Keats was working, or excuse me, K-Man, as he's referred to in this computer file.
Yeah, K-Man.
Was accessing a file at like 12:31 a.m., which was around the time that he died, based on all of the signs from the liquid nitrogen, I guess. And then they see that there was a file accessed after that. And as they try to get in, they can't really, it's password locked. Mulder says, well, what about this? 15626. And Scully's like, what the? But types it in and it works. And it turns out that was the number that was written on the piece of paper that he stole from Roland, which is surprised.
Yeah. And this is Arthur Grable's account. This is his work. And somebody had accessed that, continued working on it for 5 more hours after the liquid nitrogen death. But we learned that Arthur Grable died 6 months ago. So this is very strange. Very difficult for me to not make Dark Tower references because we got Roland and then Roland in the Dark Tower. His father's name is Arthur. You know, that was really just, that was eating at me. But also these are just like classic English names, I guess.
Is his dad's name?
You know.
Is dad named Arthur? Yeah. I know he's like part
Roland.
Of like.
Roland. Oh, no. It's his father's name is Stephen.
Stephen. Yeah. Okay. I was about to say.
I'm thinking of, but he's of the line of
but
Arthur.
But he's the line of Arthur
what,
of the
That's
Elf.
What
yeah.
got me fucked up. Got
but
me fucked
also,
up.
Like, as soon as I saw Roland,
I'm glad
I was
you
like,
called me out because that would have been embarrassing as hell.
From Dark Tower aficionados? Come on, dude. We can't have those kind of mistakes just on record.
Can't have them coming for me.
I'd have to edit that out later. There'd be an unreleased material.
you'd be beeping it out. Everyone would think I said a slur.
I'll never beep anything out again because I think there was one episode of Monster of the Week where I beeped something out and like we still get questions like, what did Chris say? And I'm like, I'm not, that's the reason I beeped it out. I don't remember.
It's been too long. We no longer remember.
It's been a decade, my friend. I don't know what to tell you. So we go back over to the halfway house. Roland is still like, now he starts remembering kind of being left behind by his family. We see him like staying somewhere where his mom like disappears or gets in a car and leaves. He wakes up and finds out that finds Mulder and Scully at his door along with the caretaker. He tells the caretaker that he's not supposed to talk to them, and she kind of thinks that this is shyness, and she tries to encourage him out of it. And notably, like, he slept in his clothes that night, which is a little sus.
Yeah, and his janitor clothes.
Also,
you know, I put my jeans on the bed, not happening. But putting my fucking full work suit, my janitor work suit, jumpsuit on, no, not happening.
Not going to happen. I am way back in the day when I was in my early 20s, I worked with a guy, and I remember him telling me that like as soon as he got up from work, he basically like took off all of his clothes except for his boxers and maybe like an undershirt, and like that was his like, I'm ready. Like I'm divested myself of the real world. I'm ready to just hang out. And I thought at the time that was crazy shit. Like I was like, you don't go out. Like you don't go to the clubs. Like you don't go. You don't go drinking. Like what are you talking about?
What we didn't know now is that guy had it all figured
that
out.
That dude had it. I can't remember that dude's name now to save my life, but that dude had it figured out. Because nowadays,
probably fucking Einstein.
Man, when I come home, Chris, like we've got our carport door goes right into the laundry room, so I'm like fucking stripping clothes off, hoping nobody opens the door and finds me in my boxers. So I mean, I'm ready to be done with the world and the world around me.
Yep. You would think that I work at like a waste disposal plant. I work at an office. I wear a button-up shirt tucked in, and I come home and I'm just like, no, it's gone. It's gone. Which, as you know, when we first started recording together, this is a great tangent for the listener.
Uh-huh.
I just come in, record. I come home from work, still got my pants on, still got my shirt on, buttoned up, and I just sit here and record like a freak, like a freakazoid. Yeah. What was I thinking?
I wore you out of that. I think I was just like, Chris, what are you doing? You're too stuffy.
Well,
like,
you know, get loose. You think back then I was what, like 22? So
yeah, you were pretty young. I guess I groomed you into the podcast game. If we're really considering
groomed me. I'm a lot grayer now. Wow. Didn't expect to have these allegations surface. Well, anyway,
Mulder, in another really suspect move, Mulder helps him pick out a shirt to wear, which I find very unusual. He like holds up a shirt, and Roland is like, "No, the green one." And Scully takes the caretaker downstairs to talk. Mulder starts asking about his job, how he got it, which was via Arthur. And he says, you know, when's the last time you saw Arthur? Like a week ago or 2 weeks ago? And Roland correctly says, no, Arthur died. People die. They go away. They're not supposed to come back. And Mulder looks at that and is like, I should probably have a follow-up question for that, but instead I'm just going to stare moodily at the camera. Meanwhile, Scully gets Roland's file from the caretaker, and we go back to FBI HQ where Mulder and Scully have a little powwow. This is them like talking in the Impala, having a beer, right? Like kind of going over the case details. Yeah,
miss those days.
Miss those days. Mulder thinks that Arthur isn't dead. And is somehow using Roland to hide the fact that he's murdering his former coworkers.
Yeah.
This suspicion is not necessarily confirmed, but raised even higher when they find out that they're both from Seattle and that they both have the same birthday.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's actually interesting here that Mulder isn't immediately jumping to conclusions that, oh, it must be another ghost possessing a man to do something. He thinks, no, this man just faked his death, which is much more plausible than, you know, possession.
Also, like, I just wanted him to be like, at least some point in this episode, like, do you remember last week, Scully? Like, we just did this. Yeah. Like, we just...
So last week when we just did this thing, I'm seeing some similarities.
When we had this exact conversation with, like, almost everybody, like, I don't know, like, I feel like it's the same thing somehow. Yeah. Instead, we go back to the halfway house. Roland is drawing planes, and him and Tracy are kind of having this moment. Tracy talks about her dreams, saying that she one time dreamed that they were married and had a house together. It's obviously that she's very sweet on him. Of course, he doesn't want to talk about his dream.
Like, why am I shipping them? Like, why is this happening?
Yeah, why am I shipping them? Ask everybody ever. He doesn't want to talk about his dreams, and he starts getting super stressed. And then he has this vision of himself strangling Tracy. And this freaks him out so bad that he, like, begins to scream and yell, and he runs away to the bathroom, locks himself in. And this is very, very intense. Like, this is the moment where I was like, okay, well, I don't necessarily, in general, approve of this whole performance, but, like, the dude is putting in the work. Like, he is...
They do a good job of making it seem like he's not crazy, you know what I mean? Like, when he says the thing about to Mulder, like, you know, people die and they're not supposed to come back, and when he has this terrible vision, this terrible impulse, he runs away from it and gets to, like, a safe space, essentially. Like, he's not, like, this out-of-control person, you know? He's not being tormented by fantasies of, like, people coming back from the dead. Something's going on, and it's making him really uncomfortable because he knows that these things aren't right. So they are grounding him. Like, he's not some madman.
Yeah, this definitely comes across as, like, distressed and not crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a pretty fine line.
Because he just had an violent intrusive thought, and it scared the shit out of him.
And Tracy is outside, like, yelling, I'm sorry. And he's screaming, go away, I don't want to hurt you. Like, it's just very emotional and intense, and, like I said, distressing for everybody involved, including the viewer. Really hard. Like, I think this is genuinely one of the most emotionally impactful parts of the episode.
Definitely.
They decide to interview the lead scientist. We get this kind of, like, nonsense story about them pulling a prank on an old professor. They do the classic. Yeah. Like,
dude, we find out that old Arthur, dead Arthur, he was a master of schemes.
He loved pranks, including
to prank.
I love it at the end when the guy's like, I know you'd appreciate this, me murdering you, because that's a prank. They kind of are implying, Mulder's implying that he could have faked his own death. And this dude, whose name I'd probably need to, like, find out.
It's like Nolette or something like that.
Yeah, Frank Nolette says there's absolutely no way that's possible. There's no way that's possible. And he takes them to a chirogenic chamber where...
The whole time he's saying there's no way that's possible, I'm like, because you killed him.
Because you killed
him. That's why you killed him. No. It's because we have his brain in a fucking freezer.
It's because we fucking Futurama'd this motherfucker. His head.
Yeah.
There's a moment here where Mulder... notices the temperature fluctuating a little bit, and because it's going up 1 degree, down 1 degree, and he says, could that be caused by brain activity? And the guy giving the tour just goes, no. It's just a very flat no.
Just like, down immediately.
That's the best way to talk to Mulder, is just, like, don't, like, argue with his points, just say no, absolutely not.
Say no.
Yeah, this
no,
is not.
No, it's not. It's just a strange malfunction, but it's only happening to his pod, so...
Scully asked about the science about this stuff of, like, okay, so you're freezing these people for hundreds of years. It's probably important to note, like, this seems like old hat science to us now, but this was, like, I feel like this was relatively a new concept to introduce to people in the 90s, right? Like, we were just learning about this kind of stuff, in pop culture, at least. Scully asked about the science of, like, okay, so Like, if you've just got his head, like, how are you going to get the organic material that you need? Like, what are the requirements? He's like, oh, it's the same thing. Like, it has to be compatible, blah, blah, blah. And they find out in the file that Arthur put down Roland as his, like, organic donor, organ donor, basically. And I'm like, can you just say that? Like, could I just be like, hey.
Am I allowed to put another guy down as my own? Like, I want his shit. I want his organs if I need them.
Yeah, I'm putting you down. So if something happens to my liver, like, I just get your liver, right? Like, I'm sorry, Chris, you don't have a liver anymore because Jeremy needed one.
No, I want Roland's cock. It's mine.
I want his stick and berries. Give me his stick and berries immediately.
I'm going to have four nuts and two dicks. Let's do this.
Let's do this. I want to grow them all at the same time. Can we get one on each side?
Sir, that's not, not possible. Doctor, sir, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Maybe in 2024.
Maybe.
Maybe in 2024 we'll have the technology to install a second dick.
Still waiting on that day, on that bright future.
I imagine, like, I've seen a lot of stories with guys with, like,
can you imagine the kind of damage you could do with two dicks?
Can you imagine? Like, I just,
me too, brother.
I mean, like, do you think you'd have to, I don't know why I'm talking about this. Do you think you'd have to stimulate both of them at the same time? Or do you think you could just, like, finish with one?
Yeah, no.
Like,
I mean,
you would switch back and forth. Like, I get my left nut today and my right nut tomorrow.
You got two hands, brother.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I gotta hold the phone up, right? Like, I got
sure. Well, that's your problem. You need get a tripod. You gotta mount that thing.
How am I gonna scroll through my AO3 fanfic with a tripod?
You need more dexterity.
Oh man, I can't keep up with this. So you think it has to be a dual-handed situation? You think it has to be like two hands?
I mean, you got two dicks. What are you supposed to?
So you don't think I could just go at it with the right?
I just think you're gonna have your hands full.
Well, I'm just saying, like, maybe my right is, like, ready to rock, and my left is not ready to rock. It's.
I mean, I don't know. Flaccid. I guess you could just. I don't know, brother. So you're talking a left-right situation. I figured it was a north and south situation.
We could do up and down, too. My question
still
remains.
Dealer's choice, really. Yeah. I mean, if we get the technology.
I was thinking of kind of like one on the right, one on the left, so you could point in two
maybe
different
more
directions.
Effective that way.
Yeah. Your hands could be, I don't know.
I'm sort of picturing it like a cow's udders.
Sure. Yeah, I think that works. But you don't have to use all the udders at the same time in order to get the milk.
That is fair. Maybe you could do one after the other.
Oh, you think you could? Oh, you think you have double the go time?
Maybe.
Like you finish with one and you just switch to the next. Like you just.
I gotta Google this.
You gotta jack
can
one
have,
in. Can I have
can
two
I get
dicks?
Two cocks?
Yeah. Oh God, this is gonna be Alan Tudyk IMDb page.
So they wait. Okay, now we got the grand. Take a look at this guy's records. Somebody's records, Arthur's records, or Roland's records. It was Roland's records. And they decide, hey, these two, Arthur and Roland, I think they look a lot alike. Uh-huh. They make some comments about Arthur's weight and his large beard and his hair and his glasses. And they do some old school Photoshop, remove all of that, and realize that he looks exactly like Roland. So they decide they got to go back and talk to Roland. And they propose the two dick theory to him.
Okay. It took me a long time to realize you were talking about the episode again. And I was like, what about the two dicks? I didn't think we were finished with the two dick situation.
No. Yeah. We're back to the two dicks. but actually, Roland starts talking about his dreams.
Yes. And Roland immediately goes into, like, distress mode. Mulder tries to, like, I guess bond with him and talk about, like, this horrible dream he had about a man underneath a pool and not being able to find his father. And I'm like,
I love a fictional character describing their dreams. I don't like a real person describing their dream, but a fictional character, I'm like, ooh, what does it mean? What's the symbolism?
There's some
ooh.
Symbolism there. Yeah. Yeah. Like
he's searching for his father, but underwater, but he can't reach him. There's another man there watching him. What's that mean?
Who is that man? Why is he smoking? What is that happening?
Ooh. Underwater?
Roland says he can't tell Mulder about his dream because they're bad, and then says, like, I hit Tracy because he feels so bad about his like, emotional blow-up. And Mulder spots this toy on the shelf, brings it over, and it's a little remote control, like, spaceship that rolls around on the ground. Roland kind of drives it a little bit, and Mulder is like, hey, this is what's happening to you.
At this point, I'm still begging that it's aliens. Dude. I'm still begging for
it. I thought
the
thing was
going to
fly.
Saucer.
Yeah, I was so excited about this. He tells Roland, like, hey, this is what's happening to you. Someone has the remote control. And he's like, who? And so Mulder brings out this picture that they photoshopped of Arthur. Or no, I think he just picks out a picture of Arthur, like a normal picture.
Yeah.
And then this causes Roland to incredibly freak out. Like this is such a distressing thing for him to see. He begins to remember all of these horrible things. He begins to scream. He's hitting himself. He goes back to the bathroom again to lock himself in. This time he breaks through like the screen and the glass. We're gonna see later that his like arms are bleeding from doing this. Mm-hmm. And as he goes into the bathroom, like he sees the broken window. Like it's obvious like he is being kind of forced to do this against his will.
Somebody's flashing images of what he wants him to do.
Which I guess I hadn't really considered that as I was watching it, of like this isn't like a, like he's telling me to do stuff and I'm doing it. He's forcing me to go through these motions to do this stuff, which I would imagine, especially for somebody as represented in this TV show, as somebody with this dude's condition, has to be even more distressing, right? Like it has to be fucking horrifying. I guess in a way this is like a deeply horrifying episode. I hadn't put that together quite yet.
I guess if you change your perspective around a little bit, it stops being just like, oh, it's a boring kind of run of the mill. This is a stereotypical thing. And, you know, they are kind of dipping into some horrors. This poor man who is just, forces are acting on him against his will.
He escapes. They can't find him. They go back to the lab. Mulder wants to put a security guard on the last remaining scientist, Nalette. And Scully is like, no one's going to give you any help because of your crazy theories. And I'm like, really? Are we writing Scully like this every single week now? Like, obviously, like, somebody is killing the scientist. Like, put a fucking guard on him. And then, of course, Mulder has to give out his theories, which is that Arthur isn't dead. He's in this, like, subconscious / like, in-between conscious state because he's frozen in this canister. And it's it could be giving him psychic abilities, because now that his consciousness is out of the way, maybe he can explore his brain more, blah, 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 blah. So now he can use these abilities to control his brother. But the only thing they don't really have is a motive. They don't understand why he would be doing this.
I can't believe we learned that Scully has two brothers in the scene. They weren't at her father's funeral. Okay. What's going on with that? You think I forgot?
Where were they at the funeral?
I didn't forget.
Why didn't they go to the funeral?
Because she previously didn't have any siblings, and now she does.
Oh my God, I'm so upset at these brothers.
Yeah, these mystery brothers that Mulder knows about, even though they weren't at the funeral.
Man, I tell you, one of the biggest mistakes in my life that I still feel bad for was when my grandfather died, and...
And your mystery brothers weren't there?
Yeah. And it was kind of up to me, for whatever reason, to like plan the whole funeral. And I had help, like family helped or whatever. But like I was in charge of like communicating with everybody, right? And a really close cousin that was like really close to my grandfather, like we talked to the night before. And I guess at some point there was a mix-up that I didn't communicate him to like the exact time and date of the funeral. And I thought like, hey, we have an obituary in the newspaper. I'm sharing it on Facebook. Like other people are sharing this information. I didn't think to like call the dude up and be like, you need to be here at 9 a.m. or whatever. So the guy didn't show. And he was apparently upset about that like he didn't know the exact time and place. And I'm just like, well, what did you think was fucking happening? Like you couldn't pick up the phone? Like I'm busy. But at the same time,
you had a lot going on.
But at the same time, I also feel like fucking, because I can't imagine like missing my grandfather's funeral, right? Like,
how Scully's brothers feel. They missed their dad's funeral.
Obviously, they don't give a shit, is what I'm saying. Like, they just don't give a fuck.
They weren't visited by psychic visions of his
ghost.
You know
not.
I mean?
Absolutely.
They did not have a Hamlet experience with him.
It sounds like they were mama's boys, if we're really being.
Oh, brother, tell me about it.
Nalette, meanwhile, is watching Mulder and Scully have this conversation via closed circuit.
Yeah, he heard their theory, and he's like, "That sounds like that prankster Arthur."
I got this under control. I got the solution for this. He goes immediately to the cryogenic tanks, which I think is very funny. I didn't realize they were on the same like site. Like I thought they were. Yeah. I thought they were.
Seems
like
that'd
building.
Be a different facility for sure. But,
seemed like it'd be a different like whatever. So he goes in and sneaks in. We get a glimpse of Roland. He's doing like a bunch of. He's writing with both of his hands, writing all of these formulas down, trying to basically very quickly get all of his knowledge out. Like you can tell that Arthur is forcing him to write all this stuff out because he wants to finish his work. Does Scully and... Yeah. So we go back to the HBI headquarters at this point for some reason. Scully confirms that Arthur and Roland were identical twins. They do some very, like, insensitive and suspect science to be like, oh, well, this one is smart and the other one is not. And I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when we hear the news that for somebody sabotaged the canister that Arthur's head was living in. So it's been, the temperature has been rising, I guess, or falling, or rising.
Yeah, it's rising. So it's in the negative. So the numbers, like the, you know, the numbers are going down, but it's actually, it's getting closer to zero, and then it would go above zero, and then you'd be in trouble.
Yes. And they're like, oh my God, who could do that? It's got to be Nolet.
Yeah. Well, where are we?
We can go back to Two Dicks if you think this is a good moment.
I've
got more questions because, like, if you have.
So is it four nuts in one pouch? Or are we talking two pouches?
I think two pouches. I think you got to do two pouches.
I was picturing two pouches. Unfortunately, I have a vivid image of it in my mind.
I do too. And I got to say, two pouches means you're going to be using a lot more of like that, some fucking talcum powder in there. Like, you're going to get some chafing down there if you're not careful.
Oh, brother. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, you're going to need. Yeah. Huh.
Imagine trying to find
side. Every plus has a minus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the minus in this case is just some slight chafing from your two dicks and four balls.
And four balls, yeah.
Do you think that it would be acceptable? Like, I mean, like, how would you, like, would you broach the subject before or after? Or like before
I
or
like
during?
You'd have to bring it up almost immediately. You know,
first date? You
listen,
think first date is two dick
listen,
conversation?
You know,
really?
Because
you don't tell somebody,
I mean,
like,
big
you tell
deal.
Somebody, like, sick, you have, like, a 9-inch dick on the first date, right? Like, they kind of find that out later, so.
They find that out. It's a pleasant. I mean, because is that a surprise? Is that a pleasant surprise, or is that a disturbing revelation?
I mean, if it's a
pleasant surprise, you keep that a secret, that's fine, but I think everybody's going to react differently to two dicks. You know, you and I, fellas like us, we might get excited by such a proposition,
I feel
but
like,
not everybody's
I feel
like us.
Everybody would have the same reaction to surprise two dicks, which is just like full-on fucking surprise and shock and not sure what to do. Like, I feel like everybody would just be frozen as soon as you, like, as soon as that zipper comes down and, like, stuff is not where it's supposed to be, and then sprong, I mean, like, you get one, you get the one shot and then the two shot. I think everybody's mouth is just agape and it's like,
food for thought, listeners.
Things to think about. Yes.
Write in.
Definitely write in. We're taking feedback. monsterthewheatpodcast@gmail.com.
And are you thinking east, west, or north, south? Let us know.
Or, I mean, hey, northwest, southwest? Like, we could do some angles.
Oh, sure, at an angle.
Or,
maybe that could come in handy.
Or Chris, I didn't think about this. One front, one back.
One front, one back.
Butt dick.
Back dick.
Butt dick.
Yeah.
Back dick?
Yeah.
Back dick is
and
better?
Then do you have to sit on it? Then do you have to sit on it?
It would make chairs uncomfortable, I think. I
mean, that's for sure.
You'd have to get a very interesting jock strap, I believe.
You'd have to have glory holes in all your chairs.
You'd have to have little glory holes. And
okay,
you have to have a glory hole in your couch.
Where are we?
Roland is in the lab. Good, start from there.
Roland's in the lab. What's he cooking up in the lab? He's doing the work. Is this where Nolet comes in?
Yes. So we spend a lot of time getting to Mach 15. So that's a big
thing. Oh, yeah. We get to Mach 15. Then Nolet comes in. He's like, I've seen it further than other men because I stood on the shoulders of giants. And Roland's like, I don't need your fucking stupid quotes. But this isn't your work. This is not, you have not seen further than other men, you dipshit. And I guess Nolet here is like, oh, so Roland, you are being controlled by Arthur. All right, sure. Too bad you died before you could finish or publish your work. And now I'm going to take all the credit for it, which I feel like explaining your evil plan is never a good idea. And he's planning to kill Roland, just shoot him with a gun. He's going to kill him and then just say, oh, it was self-defense because Roland has clearly been murdering all of the scientists. And just when you think that's exactly what's going to happen, no, Roland just knocks his ass out.
I mean, because the guy gets so distracted. Like, he's such a scientist. He's such a nerdling.
He's monologuing for so fucking long.
Yeah, and he like, looks at the formula and he's like, oh, this is how, oh, we're going to unlock the secrets. Da, 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 da. And then, like, fucking Roland just, or Arthur, I guess, at this point, just clocks him in the head with a chair. Of course, this is when Scully and Mulder roll up to the establishment. They could have just stayed. Like, it wasn't only 20 minutes ago they went back to the headquarters.
Yeah. A lot of wasted back and forth.
Roland, I mean, how much is your gas bill? Like, probably.
There's a really long red light down the street, too, that you gotta get stuck at no matter what.
Probably not as big as his Ruth Chris.
Leaves
bill.
Him with a lot of time to ponder the two-dick theorem, though.
Did I tell you that Autumn went to Ruth Chris with some customers?
Oh, my God.
She wouldn't send me a. I wanted to get her to send me a selfie with the. With the menu, but apparently doing that in front of like customers was kind of weird, which I totally understand. But I did because she was doing her expenses the other day. So I hope she's listening to this in like 6 weeks and she's gonna hear this and go, "You shouldn't be talking about this, Jeremy." Too late. I saw her pull the receipts out of her purse and start taking pictures of them so she could submit all of her stuff. Do you know how much she spent at Ruth Chris to take customers out? Just guess.
I don't know if you're allowed to say.
Just guess. I'm allowed to say. Yeah, I'm allowed to say.
I don't know, $500?
No, Chris. $1,000 at Ruth Chris.
And they have free refills?
I don't know how many things of like fucking crispy mac and cheese that is, but that is...
Damn!
That's a lot. I don't know how many customers she had with her, so that could be like 10 people. I don't know. Yeah. But like it was
been a solid crew.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't look at the rest, because it's none of my fucking business. I didn't look at the receipt for very long, but I just thought it was really funny that she dropped a fucking stack at Ruth Chris.
You gotta roll deep at RC's, that's all I'm saying.
You do say that a lot. Mulder and Scully roll up. Roland puts Nolette into the test chamber, so we get the like a repeat of the close of the cold open. The wind picks up. On my trivia section that I dove into, somebody mentioned that the wind right now, like that the speeds given, was going 736 miles an hour, and they said nobody could stand up to that. And I'm like, dude, you were watching the X-Files. Like, I don't know what you think you're watching right now, but like, who cares?
Who gives a poop?
Who gives a shit? We kind of cut to the canister temperature going like in and out, going like the temperature is. So like, I think that they were trying to tell us that like Arthur's control over Roland is like slipping a little bit.
Yeah. And Roland's real sweaty.
Yeah. Yeah. Roland is super sweaty, which doesn't help that at all. Like, I don't know if you know anything about psychic projection.
He's trying to use the keyboard and his hands are slipping and sliding all over it.
It's not a water resistant keyboard. Like, I keep it in my
desk. You ever try to just do office work while sweaty? It's nearly impossible.
Oh my God, Chris. Ever since I got two dicks, I've had to get a
oh yeah.
Just liquid resistance everything. Yeah. And I produce a lot more as well. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Produce a lot more.
And it's a lot more forceful. Like, it's kind of like Superman. You ever heard those Superman jokes? Yeah, anyway. Not very fun. Now, why are we talking about this? I'm so sorry.
We're not going to have any listeners left when this is done.
I mean, somebody's writing fucking fan fiction about huge titty Merlin. We got liver edging questions.
Yeah,
like,
you
legit
know what?
Liver
I think
edging
everybody's
questions
just
on Tumblr.
Just as freaky as us, because we sit here and we're just bullshitting, and you know, we don't think about anything that we say before it comes out of our mouths. It's just nonsense. And then we end the recording and we move on and we don't think about you dicks again. I know
I'm going to talk to Autumn about it tonight. I don't know if you're going to talk to Jess about it, but...
East or west or north or south? That's what I'm going to ask her. But, you know, the listeners, they tend to really grab onto it. So maybe it's them that's the real freaks. And we're just giving them what they want.
That's true.
All I'm saying.
Or maybe we're in such a place like on the world stage that like this is the fucking stuff that people need to live their lives. Right? Like the two dick conversation is just what gets us through the day.
You just need a hit of two dicks in the middle of your X-Files podcast to get to the fucking day.
Just to get through the fucking day. Like, this is going to be the highlight of somebody's like run or
bus
ride.
For all you people out there who's struggling, who are having a tough time,
you're welcome.
Just not sure
I think
what
it's
comes
the,
next
I think it's
you're
the,
welcome
you're welcome
we got the medicine to soothe your ills,
and it's and it's a double dose, baby.
And it's the double dose theorem, baby. So all right, Roland is able to make his way through his sweat slop, and he's able to at the last second regain control. Arthur, you're out of the picture, brother. And he's able to regain control, and he's able to turn off the jet engine in there and spares Nolette from murder. To be fair, Nolette was stealing a man's work.
A dead guy's work, though. Like,
but he didn't kill anybody.
He didn't murder anybody.
Arthur via Roland. So
the funny thing about this episode, I think, is that, like, because they stop Arthur from doing this. Like, they can't stop Nolette from continuing to use Arthur's work. Like, he's going to get Mach 15. He's going to get all the credit for it. Like, he's done, all of that stuff still happens, right? Like, we don't see it happen, but, like, it definitely happens. So, like, Arthur did nothing, basically, except murder a couple of guys that were presumably friendly with him. Like, I don't... Like...
Yeah, his old friends. He just killed his old friends. And he put his brother in dire straits, because now they're going to... As we're going to find out, Roland is going to be given an evaluation now. It's all said and done. He didn't kill him. But now he's going to be given this evaluation... And there could be charges filed against him, or maybe not. I think Mulder explains to the caretaker that Arthur was...
This seems like a wasted conversation.
He doesn't fully explain it. He just talks about whatever happened.
He shows her the file, which is gobbledygook to, like, I think, any innocent bystander, and is like, hey, this is a formula for like going Mach 15. And she's like, what? And he's like, and somehow Roland finished this. And she's like, I don't... What are you? Are you an FBI agent? Are you for real? Like, I don't think
you work here.
You just need to leave, sir. And then they say that they recommended that Roland be released into her custody, which is nice. He's not going to be like charged with anything, or they're kind of waiting to see if he's going to be charged with anything, but they don't think so. And then we see Roland, who is very carefully packing up his shirts when Tracy comes in, and Tracy's being very sweet, says she doesn't want him to go, and he doesn't want to go either. But he, you know, as she turns around to leave the room, he says, "Wait." And he goes and gets his jar of stars that we saw in the early part of the episode and asks her to keep it for him. And she responds with a very sweet, "I love you." And he says, "Me too." And then like leaves. And then there's this really fucked up moment, which like he goes into the bathroom and like looks in the mirror. And like, there's a moment where you're like, oh, is Arthur still in control? But like, we saw him die. We saw his canister like die.
Dude. They can't help but put a little stinger at the end.
I feel like it's like a fucking, like somebody said, every single episode has to have an ambiguous ending, no matter what. Yeah. Like, we can't let anything have like an official ending. Like, is he or isn't he? Like, I don't know, man. You gave me a fucking, like,
let this man go.
Tone.
He's been through a lot.
He's been through so much. Let him, like, just let the dude just live his life. Like, obviously, he was pretty comfortable in his life before his dead brother started possessing him. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, gee whiz.
So yeah, that's the episode. Yeah.
That's the episode.
As always, when we talk about these episodes, I end up A, liking them more, and B, contemplating the nature of multiple dicks. So
yeah, that's something that I think is going to be, it's going to require a lot more discussion.
Yeah, we'll get back to that next week. Don't worry, everybody. On the finale.
Don't you worry. We, you know, as scientists, we must explore the theorem again and again. So,
and we can't let societal norms get in our way of our experiments and our thought
that's
processes.
Right. You know what? You are right.
We can't stop because other people are saying that, you know, two dicks is impossible or improbable or unsanitary. Like, we're not going to stop just because people say that. Absolutely.
One
not.
Circumcised, one uncircumcised.
Now that is an interesting conversation to have.
Right.
Well,
I didn't think
about that. You got a
that's
sweater
right.
on one, but the other one's just fucking neck out.
Well, the other one's neck out, dude.
Wild. Didn't think about that.
Yeah. See, there's a lot more to this conversation. So we'll see you next time, everybody.
Yeah, we love you. Patreon.com/Monster of the Week. Please send in your thoughts and feelings about the X-Files at MonsterTheWeekPodcast@gmail.com. Our feedback episode for season one's coming up in 2 weeks. Thank you for doing reviews. Remember, everybody, to please stay spooky.
Franklin, stay hogged up.
Chris Mosier,
we made it in.
You're locked inside.
Okay.
You're in the lab.
I'm in the lab. I'm cooking it up. Testing
today.
Experimental propulsion technology.
I got this atmospheric reducer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we can do something with that.
We can reduce the atmosphere. Sounds like.
Feel like we've been doing that on, like, the humans have been doing that on their own for a while. Maybe
absolutely.
maybe I should make this an atmospheric producer instead.
I feel like that's definitely kind of our vibe. That was the vibe of Thinking Face, was an atmospheric producer. We were definitely creating some atmosphere
because there was a lot of hot air.
A lot of hot air, you know what I'm saying?
I guessed it on a episode of Carrie and Wayward recently, and at the end, they asked me like where we could be found on the internet, and I said, I forgot. We have this website called now that centralizes everything. Like, you can go to creepybutnecessary.cool, and you can get all of our podcasts, including Thinking Face. And neither one of them were familiar with Thinking Face, so I had to explain like what we did, and then it ended because it turned into an improv horror podcast, and neither of us could figure out how to get out of it. they were like, "What?" And I'm like, "Look, man, it's just it was a weird thing, but it's there.
We've
like,
been
it's podcasted on the
a long time, folks."
we sometimes experiments just happen. Sometimes things just happen.
You gotta wear a lot of different hats.
Exactly, 100%. How you been, my friend?
All right, I'm chilling. You know how it is. I built my first Gundam model.
You built a Gundam model?
After swearing that I wouldn't. Dude, I thought it was so much more complicated than it is. It's really easy, and it's like $900 cheaper than doing a Lego kit. Legos are expensive. I don't know if you knew that. That shit's expensive.
I've recently found that out because I was shopping for somebody, and I was going to get them like a Lego thing, and just was like floored because I just remember buying like a bucket of Lego, like when I was a child, and like it not being $100,000 or whatever like it. But like the sets are crazy.
I'm pretty sure somewhere in the basement I have my old like gigantic tub of Legos from when I was a kid. But I would get sets, and I think the only thing that I would ever like specifically try to build would be like Star Wars stuff if I was going to build an X-Wing or something. But otherwise, I wanted like a bucket of Legos to build my own shit. I didn't want to have to like follow the rules. But we've done some of the they have like the adult Legos that are like flower sets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Me and Jess have done a bunch of those, so she has those on her shelves, and I got her $40. That's fine. I got her one of the Animal Crossing sets that just came out, which is for ages 6 and up. Which was also $40, and it was fine. I was just getting, it was a fun activity we can do. It's no big deal.
That seems reasonable for like a Nintendo branded product, because Nintendo stuff is always like so highly priced nowadays. Like,
and it's probably all in all, it took like 2 hours maybe. Uh-huh. Like we were watching TV with it and just kind of like messing around with it, and that was that. And I think for that price, I could get like 4 Gundams, and the Gundams take like 4 hours to put together. And you would think like, well, just because it takes longer doesn't necessarily mean it's bigger. Like, it's building a Lego flower pot versus building a little robot man. Like, it depends on what you want out of it. I want the little robot man, and I had so much fucking fun doing it. It's so satisfying as you like, it slowly comes together and it starts taking shape, and you're like, oh my god, this is that guy. This is my little guy right here.
This is the guy.
And it was just, I thought the directions would be really complicated. I thought that they were only in Japanese. That's not true. they are in English.
The theme here is like you've made a lot of assumptions about some stuff that you have no idea about.
And that's, I'm basing it all off the fact that when we were like 12, Steve got one, and I tried to like sit there and do it with him, and it was all in Japanese. And that was 20 years ago, and I just assumed that that's how it still was 20 years later. I just want to say, 20 years ago, he figured it out. That's just, you know, he's built different than
that's
I am. Because I would have taken one look and be like, well, this isn't for me. But he figured it out. He built that thing.
So Animal Crossing Flower Pot Lego is obviously like a good activity with your GF. Is Jess into the Gundam thing at all? Is she putting
absolutely
together a Gundam?
Absolutely not. She thinks that Gundams look so stupid. like just like the design of them. I'm like, you don't get it, okay? She's like, are they people or are they giant robots?
I'm like yes. Absolutely. Yes, 100%.
It's the one thing that I haven't been able to convert her on. I've gotten her to watch like all my old favorite anime and stuff, but I haven't been able to get her into Gundam. And that's okay. I'm just going to take that, you know.
We've been watching movies, and I figured out like the way to get Autumn to watch a movie is just tell her she can look at her phone. And if she's like interested enough in the movie, she won't look at her phone. Like that's right. The metric. Like right. Like
I try to explain to Jess. She's like, "Well, you're just gonna look at your phone the whole time." I'm like, "I will until I'm interested.
Until I'm interested.
I have ADHD. I need a minute."
So we decided to rewatch, and because we hadn't the sequel to Beetlejuice, the trailer came out recently. Beetlejuice 2 is coming out. and I hadn't seen Beetlejuice 1 in probably 30 years, like since I was a kid. Right. Like I don't know. All I remembered about that movie was the dinner scene. And Chris, that movie fucking blows.
I bet. I have not seen that movie since I was a little boy. So.
I had such high regard for that movie in my memory. And then like there's some things you can't take away from that movie. There's some performances and the practical effects and things like that. But it is fucking boring. Like Beetlejuice doesn't really show up until the last third of the movie, and then when he does, he's just a fucking gross sex pest. Like it's just it's just not very fun to watch at all. Like
that guy's horny in a bad way.
The guy is super horny, and then he turns into a giant snake. I mean, it's just it's all over the place. And I don't know, man. Like it makes me like I was kind of thinking about rewatching The Neverending Story as well.
Yeah.
Because I love that movie as a child.
I'm a little scared of that Falcor, whatever his name is, scares me a little bit.
But, yeah, the luck
dragon. You know, he looks like Framped. from Dark Souls,
oh, yeah,
who also scares me. So kind of I'm making that connection.
One of the earliest memes that I ever saw of Dark Souls was, instead of Framp hanging upside down, was from, and it was just the Luck Dragon hanging upside down from the thing, which is always super cool. I don't know. I'm worried that movie wouldn't hold up, and I have such fond memories of it.
People still seem to talk really positively about that movie.
It's got good music. Like, that song is fucking dope.
Yeah, so, sure.
I don't know. I don't know. But you mentioned, like, going back to watch all of your, like, favorite anime from a kid with Jess. Made me think of that. Of me and Autumn, like, going back and trying to rewatch some of these movies and just realizing, like, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe it's a thing we should not do.
It's... You know, it can go. Sometimes you rewatch something and you're like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like the first time that Jess and I watched Lord of the Rings together, obviously I'd seen it a million times, but it had been about 5-6 years since I had last watched it at that point.
Yeah.
And which is maybe not a long time, but considering how often I now watch Lord of the Rings, it felt like a long time. And just getting into it and being so worried that she wasn't going to like it, and then just be like, holy shit, this movie's even better than I remember. Yeah, she loves it.
No,
let's
question whatsoever. Let's get into it. Yeah.
It's a little different if I try to get her to watch Digimon or something.
Sure. I have the opposite thing happening right now because the new X-Men cartoon is coming out on Disney.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a direct sequel. I think I told you about this. Like, it's a direct sequel to the 90s show, which was like a big thing for me growing up. Like, I loved that cartoon as a kid. And I fully expected it to be like nostalgia bait, kind of phoned in. Like, I didn't have high expectations for this thing. Let me just say that. Like, I just thought it was going to be kind of subpar, and it has just blown me the fuck away. Almost every single episode has been just incredible. The last one, I want to watch it like three more times. Like, the last one, which is came out this week, which was episode 5 for when we're recording, it takes a big thing from the comics that kind of does its own thing with it, and it's just a huge moment. There's some huge character moments, there's some badass like moves. In the first episode, one of the coolest things that I've never really seen in the comics before either was they have Cyclops, whose ability is to like shoot the lasers, right? Except it's not actual lasers, it's like concussive blast, and he's using them to like make himself slide around the ground. Oh, so
that,
he can
that kind of rocks. So
yeah,
so
he can, positioning himself to kick ass at, like by shooting all the ground and like shove and sliding backwards like a fucking dope ass motherfucker. And then at one point they're flying somewhere and they all have to jump out of the plane, or the plane crashes, or the plane like comes apart or something. I don't know exactly what happens, but like there's multiple flyers in the X-Men, so like Storm picks up Wolverine, and you know Rogue grabs Gambit or whatever, right? Like Beast has a fucking jetpack because he's a science guy.
Of course he does.
Yeah. And Cyclops is like, as everybody like gets themselves together and are like headed towards the ground, Cyclops is just like, good job team, I got this, and like shoots beams down at the ground in a giant explosion to slow himself down so he can land in a superhero pose. And it is the dopest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. So
you love to see it. I've heard nothing but good things about that show. Do you have to watch the old show to enjoy it?
No, I don't think so. I think having some experience with X-Men stuff, but also you have me, so like if you were watching it and you were like, who is this guy?
I watched a little bit of the show back in the 90s when I was a kid.
All you really need to know is like Xavier is dead and the team is, you know, kind of at a weird point. The show literally tells you that in the first 10 or 15 minutes. So like I'm not spoiling anything by saying that. The only thing I think I
dabbled in all those different things back then: X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman, obviously not Marvel, but you know, we had our pick of the litter. We had some good stuff back then.
Yeah, that animated Batman series is something I really want to I don't know if I would want to podcast about it, but I need to like start it from like beginning to end one day, because it's really, really good, but I've only ever like piecemealed it. So
same. I was really into Batman Beyond. And sure. I think it's just because that was it was on Cartoon Network around the same time that like I was watching Toonami and stuff. So I think it was on Toonami. So I thought that was cool.
Jesus fucking Christ. I just scared the shit out of myself.
Why?
So I told you we had like a security, I had like cameras installed or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just run, like the video feeds from them just run on Autumn's external monitor. And so I look over, and the one that's like the biggest screen, a spider was crawling across the, and it was just covering the fucking screen. And I was going to grab my phone and like take a picture, but like he just crawled away immediately. And I can't be in this room anymore. I have to burn this part of the house down. So
was it on the camera side or the screen side?
the camera side. Like, I'm totally safe in this room, but everything has to burn.
Just making sure.
But it just made it look huge. It was the size of a 27-inch monitor for briefly.
God.
That's fucking Christ.
Ugh. So, yeah, enjoying the show. Enjoying X-Men.
Join X-Men.
You got to watch Shogun. I know it's unfortunately not a phone show because you got to read subtitles for half of it. I just saw a tweet today that said, like, Shogun is like if Ned Stark was really smart. This show's Ned Stark Torinaga. He be scheming.
We're getting close to finishing. Speaking of Game of Thrones, the Three Body Problem. We'll finish that tonight. And I think that's a fun show to watch. I'm curious how it's gonna like stick to the landing or whatever. But it's fun. And then they just released all of the episodes of the new Fallout series last night.
Oh yeah. I can't believe people are saying that's good. I did not see that coming.
I didn't either. But when they said Walton Goggins was in it, I was like, okay, he's been in some bad stuff, but he's always been very good in bad stuff.
Yeah, he don't miss.
Yeah. He comes correct, so I'm going to... And then finding out, like, I saw a tweet yesterday where somebody was like, this is his best role. They gave him so much to do across the season. I was like, okay, well, I'm fucking in. Like, I'm 100% into that.
We always talk about character actors. He's one of those dudes who's just like, anybody he plays, you're like, yep, I'm in.
Oh my God, dude. Absolutely. I could just like every single thing that I've ever seen him in, he's been fucking great. Even the stuff that you wouldn't expect him to be in is super good.
Even as the super racist cowboy in Django.
Even as the super racist cowboy in Django. Well,
that doesn't narrow it down. They're all super racist. They're all super cowboys racist. In that movie. Yeah.
God, the stories about that of just like, what's my fucking chemo brain, man? Who's the main guy in that? DiCaprio.
DiCaprio him say the N-word.
Yeah. Going to like fucking Samuel L. Jackson being like, I don't know if I can do this. He's like, you gotta fucking do this. And I'm with him. I don't know that I could do it at this point. I don't know. I don't think I could do it.
I like the idea of everyone just torturing Leo a little bit.
Oh, he deserves it. Absolutely.
Now that we've gotten into N-word talk, should we start the podcast?
Yeah, so, I mean, we can come up with some other racist terms that we're talking about. There's definitely some problematic stuff happening in this episode, so I guess we should get into it.
Yeah.